Well, what is going down, everybody? Welcome back to another very special Am I Still on the Air? And this time it is Shazam and the Fury of the Gods. Spoiler review, not the Furry of the Gods. Fury.
Not to be confused. That's a different movie.
We just want to make sure right out the gate, if you're here for the Furry of the Gods, that's another podcast.
That's the wrong one.
We're going to start that after 1 a.m., you know,
all the kids go to sleep.
That's Am I on the Air After Dark. You're going to have to come back. But welcome, everybody. For those of you watching live on the YouTubes or listening later on the audio podcast feed, this is Am I Still on the Air? And as you know, we always bring it to you when we got these new comic book movies and things that are fun to talk about. And as always, I got peeps, I got friggins with me, and we are going to talk Shazam 2 and break it down here tonight. So what's up, gentlemen? Welcome back.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thank you for having me back. I'm very curious about what's going to go down today. You know, we have, I feel like once again, we're going to have a trifecta of opinions going on.
I think
on,
it so. Might be a little mixture too. And after the last time, I thought for sure Sean wasn't coming back, this, you know, ever again. But, you know, after the stuff you pulled last time.
What?
I don't know. We'll have to go back and listen to figure it out.
Yeah, if you want to know, you have to listen to the old episode.
Yes.
You can always go back and check them all out. There's a playlist that you can even click on YouTube that says, Am I Still on the Air? And you can watch them all back to back to back, baby. You got lots of time on your hands. Go back and check them all out. But yeah, if you're just finding us and you want to maybe see some other reviews, go back and listen, man. They're always a fun time just breaking down these comic book movies and what we like, what we didn't like, and where we think things are going. It's always a fun breakdown. So, but once again, tonight is all about them spoilers, son. So if you are not here for spoilers or you haven't seen the movie yet, this is your chance to bookmark this, you know, give it a little thumbs up, put watch your watch later list and leave, go watch the movie, come back and check us out. So, but if you have seen it or you just don't care about spoilers, then welcome. And we're going to break it on down for you guys. What we liked, what we didn't like, just kind of overall discussion. We are in a tricky spot in the DCEU at this point. We're on the cusp of a transition. As you all know, James Gunn, Peter Safran announcing that they have taken over DC Studios and they're launching their own, like, first time ever, their own studio, kind of like how Marvel has over at Disney.
Studio
and
reboot.
This, yeah, so where are we going, right? Shazam, where does he fall on the spectrum here, right? You hear a lot of different things. There's a lot of rumors out there about, oh, well, Shazam isn't really super connected to the universe. He kind of takes place in his own pocket, so he could. I think they effed that up with this one, though, so then you might not be as clear as we once thought, and we will talk about that. But yeah, there's been just a lot of like, hey, the door is open. Some of these actors can return, some won't. I honestly think this is probably the end of the line when it comes to Shazam, especially after the very poor, dismal box office opening. We are recording this live on Saturday, March the 18th, so the full weekend numbers aren't out yet, but the prediction numbers are not looking so hot. We'll talk box office a little bit later, but man, it's disappointing. So I know we all went to go see it on the preview night, and there were plenty of seats available to buy. So
sad. So many open seats.
So many, dude. No matter, and I was hearing that across the board. There's other group chats I'm in with people on the East Coast and in New York and bigger cities, and everybody was empty. And that's kind of crazy, man. Like, nobody had a packed house. And for seeing it on a preview night, you know, and in big formats, like I saw it in IMAX, you guys see XD, like, and just still have that many open seats is a little damn scary, man. Because
he
we just
even
saw
said something to me too. He's like, "Oh my!" There's like when he walked in, he's like, "Yeah, a lot of empty seats here."
Yeah,
a lot of empty seats. We could have spread out for sure, you know. And like I said, we just saw Ant-Man about a month ago, and that was fucking pretty much sold out when I went to go see it. So I mean, it was packed. So again, what is this sign here? I almost want to start here with the conversation of wow, man. Like, I mean, obviously, so we had Black Adam back in October. So that was the last DCEU movie. Did way better than this, but still considered kind of an underperformance when it was all said and done, right? Kind of topped out about $400 million at the box office. They were expecting, obviously, probably double that. That was a big, big movie from the DC. People started to feel like, I don't know, even with the Henry Cavill cameo, things like that that were happening. Then the James Gunn stuff kind of comes in, happens, and people are confused, right? Like, what's canon? What's not? Does this even matter? That was the big theme, right?
That's the thing.
Yep. Yeah, that's it right there.
Or Shazam, Flash, Aquaman, do they even matter anymore if everything's going to just start all over again? So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. Is this showing that that's where we're at? Is that showing where what's taking place here? Is that people were just like, nah, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to waste time. Like, what are you guys' thoughts? Like, on what do you think is making this showing be so low?
I mean, I'm personally real confused about it because, like, the first Shazam, like, with this being a sequel, you know, you would have the first movie and then something like Suicide Squad where a lot of people didn't like it. So when the second one came out, it kind of made sense why some people didn't come back. But I didn't think the first Shazam movie was a bad movie. I don't remember anybody actually saying that it was a bad movie.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's like in one of my, for the longest time since it came out, it's been in the top of my list. I mean, like, it was it was refreshing, and it, you know, while it had issues like they all do, it still had a lot more positive things going towards it too. So this was just seems weird. And I think we're kind of hitting more of that. Does this matter anymore? Right. And I think too many people are being like, it's not connected to anything. Who cares? And maybe walking away from it.
But I mean, I kind of thinking about it though, at the same time, like the trailers are very, you know, they're very meh, in my opinion. Like, Shazam fighting a dragon, you know? And, like, that's really it.
Hey, Khaleesi! Like,
right, yeah. And, like, you see the humor in it. And when I originally saw the trailer last July, you know, it was like, wow, that looks like a lot of fun. Not super stoked, but, like, a lot of fun. And maybe, I don't know, like, maybe they released the trailer too early? I don't know. People might not have been as excited for it by the time the movie actually came out. Didn't they push it? It was supposed to come out in December originally, right, wasn't it?
Well, it was originally set for February, and then they moved it up to December, and then they were like, we don't want to go against Avatar. So then it got pushed back to March. So here we are.
But think of it, if they would have been able to release it in one of those slots, and whether it be the February or whether it be the December even, you're closer to that initial release of that trailer. Because when we were in the theater, people would laugh at that trailer. Like, granted, it didn't show a whole lot, but the comedy aspect in there is really the draw. But then the more important factor is you miss the announcement from James Gunn about, you know, the reboot. And I think that I really, truly believe that had like a huge impact on a lot of the nerd environment for us, because so many of us are just like worried about how things tie into the bigger picture. Yeah. But, you know, if you're coming out earlier, you're skipping that whole news article there, and I think you get a different response.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah. We all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit.
Don't play with this shit.
I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Yeah. It is something, because like Peep said, going back to your thought, because I'm on the same logic. Like, when that first movie came out, like, everybody loved it. Like, it was so universally loved, and oh, it's so funny, and the action is good, and this and that. This movie, I mean, at least coming from me and watching, you know, the Twitter stream, and I'm sure Fred's seen the same thing, like, I'm seeing a ton of hate, and a ton of hate from people that didn't even go see it. Like, Zachary Levi, like, I see so many people like, oh, he's the fucking worst Shazam, he's so bad, why did they bring him back, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't remember anyone saying anything about this dude but love after the first movie, right?
That's right.
So I'm a little thrown off by, like, where this happened. Where did this come from? How did we get here? How did we get here?
And he's the best. I mean, you see him on screen. He's got charisma. He captures the attention. Like, go watch the movie before you start talking.
I don't know. I've been saying this for a bit. Like, people, it's so trendy to hate on something.
True. Yeah.
And with this movie not being, and I'll admit, this isn't the most fantastical superhero movie that you'll see. So for that reason, people are just going to bash it. And then other folks that were kind of like, I think I want to watch it, are all right. Well, hey, he says, this one dude, he was like, I went and I saw this movie for free. I have like an AMC pass and it was my free movie. And I walked out of it. It was that bad of a movie. At what point would you want to walk out of this movie? Yeah. I don't. There's, we'll get into this in a bit, but I will say the beginning was a bit slow. But for me, it definitely got its second win during the mid, and that third act was really dope. We'll get into that a bit later. But I don't get it, man. Like, I kind of want to go out and defend this movie. I really do. It's like, I don't do TikToks. It was like my first TikTok or my first Instagram thing. I'm like, guys, just if you want to have fun, if you want to like, hey, I want to go out and just watch a movie like with the family or even by yourselves or take your kids like for a laugh. Like, this is that movie. It's a great popcorn film. And like I said, you're not going to go home and be like, my gosh, best movie ever. But you're going to enjoy yourself and you're going to have a good time. Funny action, and even like the drama-ish heart tugging scenes that they have, no one's crying in the theater, but it's like, aw.
Yeah.
There were some tears, man, in my theater. There were some tears.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. And especially, and my daughter looked at me at one point. She goes, I'm crying. she loved it. Man. The same thing, man. On the drive home, she was like, that's one of my favorite movies ever. I loved it. And, that's what it's all about, man. Like, I love that she was so stoked for it because the first one is one of her favorite movies in the DCU, right? Like, I mean, just overall, she loves that first Shazam. And so having a sequel, that's one that she's been asking me all year, like, when's that one come out, when are we getting that Shazam, it's like, it's coming. So that's always fun to watch. Like, I don't get it, man. Like, this is, it has everything you'd want, especially from a Shazam. Like, I'm seeing people make some weird points at things, like one thing that really bugs me, and again, I'm gonna just jump spoilers again because I don't want to hear any shit, but one of the biggest things, I was reading an article today, or I was seeing several tweets about the Wonder Woman part, right? Like, and her coming out and Billy or Shazam, flirting with her, right? And a lot of people going at the, well, that was so cringy, and I can't believe he did that, and like, why would he be so flirty with Wonder Woman, like, and I'm like, he's a grown-ass dude in an 18-year-old body, man. And when you're 18 and Wonder Woman standing in front of you, what the fuck you think you're going to do?
Right? He literally has dreams about her. Like,
yes, exactly.
That's like his,
like, it was just trying to find something to pick on. Yeah.
And
like,
I
couldn't believe that.
It's even in the comics, like, over and over in the animated shows, and they're like constantly showing him like trying to talk to Wonder Woman and even other characters. I mean, he's a teenage kid. Yeah.
And I think people forget that because they're like, oh, he's so silly in this movie and stuff. And I'm like, he is a kid in a superhero body. That's what's so funny about this movie and about the concept of Shazam, is that all of them, the whole Shazam family, are kids that are given these powers, and just how they deal with it, right? Like, seeing the one girl in the family like steal the kittens and stuff, like just little things like that. That is just like, it's hilarious, right?
So
she saves the cats first, man.
Yeah,
like, where did she go? Did she just leave us here?
It's great.
It's great. All right, so we don't know. We're just speculating a lot of just where are we at here in the DCEU, like. And is just everybody giving up? Because that's the way it seems going into this movie. I'm wondering, like, is James Gunn going to have a really hard time relaunching this DC universe that people have given up already before this version has even ended? Or he has a chance to segue it into something else? It's going to be very interesting. So, as we always do, we like to start with our overall thoughts. This is, opening night. We get to the theater. We walk out. Where are our heads at? What did we think walking out of this movie? I think we kind of touched on it a little bit right now, just about the fun and the joy and just not the greatest movie in the world, but I walked out with a smile on my face, having a really good time. I love the first movie. This was a sequel to that brought more of what I liked about the first movie. with a lot of really cool elements. So, I mean, I walked out very, very happy, very pleased. Peeps, where was your head at coming out?
Like, I came out of this really, really enjoying it. Like you said, there were many scenes that I thought were funny. And even after the scene is over, like, I'm still cracking up at, like, just the stupidity that I just saw on screen. Like, that is just so dumb, but I'm still, like, laughing about it. And yeah, man, I had a good time. I can't wait to take my kids to see this movie. There's a couple scenes, you know, specifically at the end that I know my daughter is going to go nuts over. And yeah, man, just, and I could even like take myself as a kid. Like, if this movie came out when I was a kid, it would probably be like one of my favorite movies ever. Like, it was so fun. And it sucks that Marvel has actually created they set the bar for, like, expectation, I feel like, on these movies. And it's, you know, can't compare this to, like, Endgame or you know, Falcon or the Winter Soldier movie or anything, but, like, just overall, I had a blast. I couldn't wait to get on and talk about it. I'm doing it for the first time with you guys, so yeah, man, I can't wait to get more into this and to talk about the ridiculousness that was this movie. Even the end credits theme scenes were so good.
Oh my god, so I was good. Cracking up.
What's great about that is we literally were just talking about, like, the Ant-Man after credit scenes a month ago, being like, post-credit scenes, you know.
They suck.
They're not paying off the way they used to. And then Shazam gives us two awesome ones. So it was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Friggins, where was your head
respect
at?
Respect for unicorns. I dig that.
Yeah, right? Yes. I saw that popping up.
Taste the rainbow, motherfucker.
So good. You know, honestly, you guys said everything I was thinking too. Coming out of it, overall, it was just like, that was a good time. I enjoyed myself. I had fun at the theater. Were there things I didn't like? Sure. But, like, in general, like, I walked out with a smile on my face. So really the biggest thing coming out of the theater for me was, what am I going to rank it?
Okay. Where can I place that half star?
Yeah.
Where can I put that in?
But no, again, overall, you guys said everything that I kind of experienced as well. I think we're all on the same page on this one, at least for, you know, that walking out the door.
All right. Well, as always, we like to get the negative out the way. We jump into what didn't we like, what stood out, what didn't we like. I'll kick off on this one, and because I don't really have much. Like, in this kind of movie, it's hard to say, like, what didn't I like, what didn't I really dig, because it pretty much unraveled the way I assumed it would, right? Like, you kind of know going in, like, okay, we knew we had bad guys. We knew that it was going to be Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu. And I had a feeling that the other girl, Rachel Zegler, was going to be the other sister. And we were going to have some twists there. But overall, like, you could grasp enough from the trailer to kind of have an idea. So I wouldn't necessarily say there was anything I didn't like. What I would say is I felt, and I think Peeps kind of mentioned this earlier, was the first half of the movie felt a little, I don't know, I would say slow, but it just, I felt like it wasn't hitting for me like the way I wanted it to right out the gate. I felt like there wasn't enough Billy kind of dealing with stuff. And it just, there was barely any Billy, barely honestly, any Billy in this movie. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, the poor guy just popped up to be like, Shazam! And then he was gone again. And, there wasn't really much going on. I would have liked, I think what I love about the first movie so much is the dynamic of the kids and being at school and the family and this foster home and, you know, sneaking around and doing their thing. And we didn't get very much of that, right? We started to towards the end of the movie once the parents kind of came in and we had the whole family together. But I felt like there was a little bit of that magic lost with the family in the beginning to where we just didn't get enough of it. You know, even the whole scenes of them kind of trying to do the, you know, the meeting afterwards off the bridge, you know, and everybody just kind of, I got to go do this and I got to go do that. And everybody kind of leaves and does their own thing. And it just becomes, again, another superhero movie where somebody's like, I'm a fraud and I don't know what to do. And should I even have these powers? And we all hate that shit. Like, it gets done too often, right? It's like, I wanted to just see, you know, we left off in the first movie that they all had powers. I wanted to jump right in with a badass scene, like the bridge. They should have just started with the bridge scene and just had them all come in, save the day and be good with it. Right. I didn't like that they were the fiascos, you know, and where like the town was like, oh, these guys are losers and all they do is make shit worse. And I didn't really care for that aspect of it. I would have liked more of
what I will say, though, like, I definitely appreciate that they are adding the fact that he has abandonment issues along with his, you know, insecurities. Like, that it makes sense why, you know, he's afraid. He doesn't want his, he doesn't want everyone to do his own, their own thing. They're all superheroes. They're all going to be their big superhero, and then just everyone split off, and then he's going to be alone again. And I really like that, and it kind of goes along to the end of the movie where the mom has the conversation, like, you know, you'll never age out of this family. It was a very beautiful scene. I like that.
See? So. And that's where tears come. That's where tears come.
That's where the tears are.
That was emotional. That was very emotional right there. Yeah, he was just worried, man, the whole time. And I get that. Yeah, I mean, and that was nice. I'm glad we circled back. I'm glad we had those moments. But like I said, what really worked for me in the first movie was a lot of that family dynamic. And I felt like we were missing that for the first half of the movie. Right. So, but that's really it. That was my biggest thing, was just a little bit of that disconnect with the family. Wanted to see more of Billy in school and the kids and kind of how they were adapting with these powers. And it would have been cool to even see them decorate the lair and like do stuff, you know, like just kind of having their moments that I feel like we kind of just, we jumped right in with the, you know, the daughters of the gods and stuff. And just kind of, I don't know, just it took a while to get going to where I was like, okay, here we go, right? And then it was kind of off to the races from there. So, Friggins, what was anything that stood out for you kind of that you didn't like coming out of this one?
I mean, I think the easiest thing to point to is the villains. You know, it wasn't just about, you know, performances per se, because obviously Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu are amazing performers, but I feel like they just didn't have either a whole lot to work with, or, you know, I'm not sure where the problem came from, but man, most of the lines that they had were corny and cheesy. And I just, every time they were on screen, I almost was like kind of cringing a little bit, or just like, can we just move on to something else? You know, and so that I think was the biggest problem for me, really, was those villain characters. You mentioned about the fact that Billy wasn't in it that much. I mean, absolutely. This was like a Jack Dylan movie. Like, why is his character getting more of the screen time, the, you know, romantic focus and all of that stuff? And it just felt like that could have easily been, you know, Billy's role in this, and we, you know, focusing more on him, which is supposed to be the main character here. So that was kind of, I mean, I get why, you know, it's tying in with the family and it's all that stuff, but I think they tried too hard to, you know, well, honestly, if we're being real, like the real life issue is that these kids are so much older now, right? And so, like, it's hard to, you know, work with them being on screen looking, you know, they're supposed to be so, you know, 17 years old or whatever, and they're actually, you know, in their 20s. And
so much older that Mary played herself when she Shazammed.
Right.
So much older she was.
It's crazy.
And no one noticed, right? They're like, what? Mary?
That's Mary.
Like, they could have at least put her in glasses and a ponytail. I mean, we could have tried to shake it up a little bit.
So, I mean, those were like my biggest issues with it. You know, and I agree too about the beginning. Like, you could have just not had that opening scene, had the bridge be the opening scene, and then introduced the daughters in some other way. But
did she really play herself? Did I not catch that?
Yes, yes. and it wasn't. I've heard some people say that they recasted her, but it's the same chick. Like, she did have another character play her older Shazam.
I mean, she was an adult, though. Yeah.
You know, but in this movie, she's old enough to wear when she's Shazam, she's the same chick.
Wow.
You know? Which is funny when the parents are like, what? I'm like, we were on the news, man. They literally watched the bridge date on the news.
Oh, my God.
They didn't notice. Why is Mary flying around?
There was a second, though, when they were, like, counting them, when they were watching the news thing, where I was like, oh, are they going to figure it out?
But anyway, that was my biggest complaints for it. So I'll pass it on to you, peeps.
Well, I like the fact that Freddie was the love interest. I actually dug that. Like,
I was going to say that.
It's so typical that it would be Billy, right? Billy's the lead.
Billy's everything. Give him the love. Everybody loves Billy. Yeah. He's the one that's resistant to all this. The little nerdy guy
that's handicapped, and he's like, you know, like, there's no way this chick could like me, right? And even when you find out she's the other sister and it's evil, she was never evil against him. And that was awesome because they didn't go the traditional route. So I really, really dug that.
I was just going to clarify. Like, I was just saying that the Billy aspect missing is what I was talking about. And I said they could have went that direction.
No,
not necessarily saying that I wanted that direction, but it was just weird that the main character wasn't the main focus of the movie. But anyway. All
right. Well, Shazam was. It didn't need to be. So he was Shazam. The main character. Exactly. All right, peeps, go ahead.
Am I good, Friggins?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm good. All right, things we don't like, right? That's where we're at.
Yeah.
I was just going to say exactly what DX was saying. I do like that they had Freddie do all that stuff, but we'll talk about that in the likes. Again, with the information dump in the beginning, and gosh, it even started with the first scene of the movie when they go into the, I'm like, here we go. You know, like it was a classic 90s, you know.
Yeah.
Villains come in and they do a bad thing to let you know how big and bad and strong they are and whatever. Like, I did not like the villains. I liked that they were where they were trying to do. I like that there's like this trifecta of like evil, good, and then kind of in the middle. That's what they were trying to do, but I didn't really get that from those characters at all. I liked the Athena, not Athena, but Anthena, whatever her name was. She was great, but the Lucy Liu was just like so cliche, DC, Marvel. Like, I want to just destroy the world because I want to. Calypso, I think her name was. So yeah, I don't know. I could have done without her.
Even when she was riding the dragon, she was so stiff, just like. Like there's no like, you know, like movement.
I'll get you my pretty.
Super like, yeah. And the dragon was inconsistent. I'm like, one minute dragon's like throwing fire out and burning everything. And then the next minute, I'm just standing here in front of all these people. I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
I'm going to scare you. Like, just burn them up. What are you doing?
I know. I didn't even think it could spit fire until the end. And I was like, where the hell was that earlier? Right.
Exactly. And it's like fighting with
its, I thought like, his power is he just made people scared.
Maybe his fuel is really the fear. That. He had to gain all the fear before he could shoot out some fire.
There goes Friggins. Yeah. I thought, and kind of going with the villains too, like them killing the teacher and all that. Like, I don't know. Like,
that was rough.
That was rough, and like that just felt bad. And like it didn't, but it was Lucy Liu's character, and it's supposed to make you hate her even more. But like. And like, do something, help that guy. Oh no, they had taken his powers already at that point. Yeah. I don't know. But like the bullies, like I don't understand why these bullies aren't arrested or like
seriously.
They're in the middle of school, like punching and kicking and bending this kid, this handicapped kid, and the teacher just walks up to him like,
you better get to class.
Like, what the.
Dude's on the ground.
Blood coming out of his mouth, like his eyes like hanging out of the socket. And yeah, come on, kids, you know, little rascals.
You little rascals.
It's just a little much. I don't know.
It did. It did. I hated it.
I am especially disappointed that like huge missed opportunity. And I just want to kick whoever's idea this was in the nuts. And I think it's Dwayne Johnson, but I just want to kick him in the nuts and run really fast. Is that it would be so amazing if this movie was building up to a Black Adam showdown. I like this whole thing with magic and affecting him and gods and this and that, and then just leading up to the possibility of Black Adam being the next antagonist somehow. Oh, like I just would have loved that. I would have been so stoked if that would have been the case, and it's not. It doesn't make sense, and it pisses me off. But I always talk about that on my show. And that
goes to the villains point that, you know, of us, we both in agreement of the villains not being cool, because, you know, this is one thing that I fear when we deal with superhero movies is the Hollywood always thinks I can create a cooler bad guy than what's already out there. No, use what's out there. That's why it's popular, you know? And like they were trying to create something different that's not from the comic books. And look what we got.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm disappointed that the mom and dad didn't also get like superpowers at the end. I thought that would have been really cool. And I'm disappointed that that wasn't actually a thing. So makes me sad. Whatever. But I guess they didn't want to squish him.
Saving
into
it for the next one. Ooh.
Oh. Don't tease me, Dom. There's not going to be a next one. But yeah, man. Just there's really not a lot that I didn't like. I don't like all the special effects that they did in this movie. I feel like all of those creatures that they had, a Minotaur, you know, like the Cyclops, like we've seen Hellboy, like they can do that. They can actually make practical effects of those. And same thing with like the harpies and all that. I would have liked to see more practical effects in this movie. You know, that maybe hire some real unicorns or something. I don't know. Yeah, but outside of that, yeah. Man, I think everything else I rather enjoyed. And like I said, that second half, that really did it for me.
I honestly didn't even see the need for the monsters, to be honest. Like, I feel like you could take that out and probably still have basically the same movie. Like, You know, because again, I feel like a lot of those monsters, like that whole city would have just been destroyed. Like, I hate that they're making, like, they didn't do that much damage, really, right? Until the unicorns
came. They were only out for
like
a few seconds, that's why.
God, they were demonic ass fucking creatures that were all over that city. It was,
dude, crazy. I totally disagree with you. When we get into the likes, that's in my like category.
Yeah, see, I think my beef with it was more of we kind of, you know, with the seven deadly sins we had in the last movie, they reminded me a lot of those creatures. Okay. And it was like, we already did this. We already fought these kind of creatures. Like, we already did this before. So I just, when the first egg hatched, I was like, oh God, where are we going with this now? Because it felt like that fodder again. It's like the Ultron bots, right? It's the, you know, it's the putties. Faceless
it's
creatures.
What I would say,
yeah. The putties, yeah. Just for everybody to fight, you know? And it's like, there was no need for it. Even in Black Adam, we talked about that when the skeletons came to life and started attacking everybody. And it was just like, why? There wasn't really a need for
it. And it was kind of funny too. It's like, if they wanted, they could have just fought them so they could have had a reason for the Shazamians to just like kind of throw down and have like a fun action scene. But instead, they're like, we can't defeat these things. What do we need to do? Oh, unicorns. What do the unicorns end up doing? Just stab them with their horn. Then just run around. Like, they didn't. I was thinking those unicorns are going to be like shooting laser beams or like absorbing them with the horn stab or something. But I don't know. But still, that was a good scene.
Yeah. All right, so we moved that out the way. There wasn't a much, like I said, we're nitpicking. There wasn't much we didn't like. But going into what we loved, things we did like, things we appreciated. The unicorn stuff we were just talking about. I mean, it was fun, right? It was a fun little thing. I love that when the little girl was talking about unicorns and Demon Hansu was like, oh, no, you don't want no unicorns, right? Like, he had fear on his face. Like, no,
they even set that up in the beginning of the movie, like with her little diorama that she made with the unicorns, I think, fighting the criminals or something.
Yeah, great character. Again, my biggest thing with this franchise is really the family dynamic. I mean, I love that it's a bunch of foster kids and it's these kids that have grown to love each other like real family and having each other's backs, you know, and those are always the big moments for me, especially with the parents and stuff too. I mean, they play, even though their time's very limited, I love their dynamic with the kids, right? Like, I feel it. I feel the emotion. I feel the connection, you know, between everybody. And I love that, you know. I love the age differences too, so you have different aspects of what's going on, right? Like, they're all like, we're superheroes, and then one kid's like, I'm gay, like, at the same time, right? And they're all like, oh, we know, man.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
You
know,
it's cool.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay. Well,
I was hoping for more of that character. It's like all the kids had their thing. Like, there's the smart kid, and they all had their thing. And his thing is he just likes to watch baseball. Like, that was it. And he's bad at dodgeball.
For the guys. You know?
He was watching for the guys, yeah. The dodgeball thing.
No, I'm just saying. Like, give them. So you just make a horny kid, I guess. That's all they did.
Yeah, it's a teenager.
It's true. And I kind of touched upon this earlier. One of the things I really liked was the Rachel Zegler character, right? Because it wasn't traditionally what you expected. Like, I had a feeling going into the movie that she would be the mystery third person. She would be the one to kind of get the kids to let their guards down. And then she'd be, I'm the evil sister. Let me do my magic.
Dr. Right? Evil on her.
Yeah. And I like that even when it seemed like she was a part of the plan, she was like, don't hurt Freddy, right? Like, she was all about him. And then even as they did knock out people's powers and capture people, she was like, here's how you escape. And then here's how you get out of here. And she was always kind of on their side, right? Like, this wasn't the plan. We just wanted our staff back. We wanted to bring our home back. And that was it, right? But Lucy Liu went crazy, and now we got to stop her. But I like that she didn't fall to any traditional sense of, you know, like, haha, I got you. You know, like, even when the Shazam version of Freddy showed up, she was like, okay, I just want to make sure Freddy doesn't get hurt. Where did he go?
Yeah.
Right? Like, she wanted to make sure he was good. And I love
that. And to go even further with that, like, you know, you would say, like, why would this 1,000-year-old goddess fall for this, like, regular human? But, like, it showed that he wasn't just a regular human. Like, he could withstand that, the fear that that dragon caused, as like a normal kid. And he was really able to withstand Lucy Calypso's charm influence. So, like, there is something special about him, and she noticed that before any of that other stuff like came about. You know, that was really cool. Unlike what Friggin says, that he hates, you know, all that, but
whatever. I think Rachel Zegler needs to be in more films, so, like, let's just keep adding her to pretty much everything that comes out. And she, you know, I wasn't, you would think that her being the newcomer to the, you know, the Helen Mirren and the Lucy Liu, that, you know, she would kind of be in their shadow, but it was complete reversal of that. I feel like they fell into her shadow. She was,
and her powers are so cool, the way that they did it. It was really dope.
Sean, very Doctor Strange-y, right?
Yeah.
It was very.
It was, but, yeah, but, it was almost mirror stuff. Yeah. Which is crazy. It's a nuts power, that she could shift all the buildings around and everything, which was cool when she got shot with the staff to lose her powers. And the beam still followed and still hit her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Which was kind of weird at the same time, though, because how many times did they shoot the Shazam with it? And he just could just dodge it, no problem. But she turned the whole city around and it still found her and hit her with it.
Well, so he has the speed of Mercury, remember?
Yeah, and the wisdom of Solo Man.
Solo Man.
It was so good, dude. So funny. I liked the little pen. That shit was hilarious. Like, the comedy, I really loved a lot of the humor. Like, when Helen Mirren was reading the note that he said, and she's like, blah, 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 blah. I would like a Gatorade. Please give me a red one.
Should we proofread this? No, we're good.
No, we're good. Well, and normally I'm not like that big into the comedy aspect of it, but that's what saved this movie. The comedy aspect is really where the heart is, right? Like, that's what makes you have the good time.
Anybody want a Gatorade? I'll have a red one. It should crack me up so much. Dude, my daughter was all, it was so funny, man.
Yeah,
like, it was just, it was such a cool little tool, man, just to have the, you know, start to write and like, nope, scrap it. You know, like, okay, do it again.
His name's Steve. Yeah.
Did you get my letter? I love the dream sequence, obviously, with the earlier Wonder Woman, where he's on a date with her and he's like, yo, and you're like, what? And then with the demon face on the body was so good, dude. It was so good. The whole time he's talking to him, just cracking up, seeing his face on
the body. Like a serious scene, and I can't believe you have done this. But you're just
they did such a good job with imposing his face on her, though. Like, it didn't look bad at all. Like,
but it kind of looked bad. Like, it was,
I mean, it looked terrible, but, like, yeah. But they did such
the long
a good
hair
job.
And everything. So, my God. You know? And so, if I hadn't been spoiled that Wonder Woman was in the movie, right? Same. Beforehand,
so frustrating.
It would have been. I would have totally just thought, like, hey, they're doing like the first movie, right? With the headless Superman. We got the headless Wonder Woman. And that could just be this running joke, right?
That's what I thought they were going to do. Yeah.
Yep.
you saw he was in Paris and you're like, oh, what? Is it Wonder Woman? Is that who he's having the date with? And yeah, it was so, so
I just
cool.
saw the image. So I was hoping that scene was the image that I had seen. I'm like, okay, well, but then they surprise you again.
Yeah. I was flipping through Instagram, and from the WB freaking Instagram page and the Shazam Instagram page, the first thing that pops up on the screen is Wonder Woman and Gal Gadot. And I'm just like, why would you lead with that? Like, if I had been, you know, like if I had seen him, I would have scrolled past, right? Like, but no, the first image they did was of that cameo, and that's so frustrating. Like,
I think just... that could have made this movie stronger, though, if they would have put her in the movie more, and they would have actually, like, you know, like done this as like a late game kind of team up kind of thing. That probably would have helped this movie a lot.
Sure, sure. People would show up more for a Wonder Woman aspect. That makes a lot of sense, and that's probably the trick that they're going for, right? Let me show Wonder Woman. Maybe people
they were like, "Yo, the tracking is 35 mil on this." Yeah. They're like, release the Wonder Woman promo. Like they're trying. But that was a desperation move.
I feel it's a desperation move. Insulting as hell to your fan base. Like, we want surprises. We want to. Can you imagine? Like, I would have loved to not have had any clue that she was gonna pop up and just like all of a sudden be like, "Oh man, that's cool." And they do that to us so much nowadays. It's just frustrating.
It was very frustrating. Because, too, once you kind of have an idea where the scene's at, and then you're at the very end of the movie, and you're just like, okay, we still haven't seen that. And you just kind of know it's coming. Right? And then they... Yeah, and then they really went through with the whole that he was dead, which I was like, oh, wow, they're actually going there, right? And then he was buried, and it's like, well... You know, I wish there was still some gods left, but we don't have any.
Seeing her though made me realize like how excited I got, even though I knew it was coming, and I just was like,
it was
cool. God, I wish we could have another Wonder Woman film with her in it. Like, she's such a good Wonder Woman, and it's just a little frustrating because having that moment of that like gleeful like excitement again, and just seeing her in the costume, they did such a great job on the costume. It's just it makes you want more.
Yes, it truly does. I mean, it was a blessing and a curse, right? Because you're like, that's really fucking cool, and then you're like, this is probably the last time we're gonna see her. You know, there are still rumors that she might be in Flash and shit, but you know, you never know where they're gonna go with that by the time that movie comes out. So,
yeah, they're like editing right now,
but. Yeah, exactly. But it just does suck that they ruined a moment like that. Not only once, right, with that scene being released, but the day, I think it was the day I went to the movie, I was just looking through Facebook, and they actually released a fucking poster. Like, it was a Shazam Fury of the Gods poster with her on the front of the poster, and it's like, Diana, you know, Shazam Fury of the Gods, and I'm like, what? Wow. Like, an actual character poster, and you're releasing that the day the movie comes out? So again, even if I hadn't known that scene was coming, now I see a character poster for her. So it was like double spoiler. And and I saw the interview with the director, and he was kind of this same thing, kind of blessing and curse, right? He was like, I'm not happy about it. I don't make the marketing, you know. He's like, but if it gets more butts in the seats, you know, I'm all for it, you know, kind of thing. So it's just, and I get that. I get that aspect, right? But it does feel, it's hard to not feel like that was a desperation move to add it in at the last second.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like, I know they wanted that to be a surprise, you know, and it really should have been, especially since it's the climax of the movie. Yeah. And they let that get spoiled in a TV spot. Like, that wasn't even a trailer. That was a TV spot that popped up on. So,
right.
Craziness. So going back to just the, like I said, the what we loved, and that's a big one for me. I was still stoked when that music hit. It's hard to not get pumped, man. I love that theme. Love the Wonder Woman theme so much, even though it was very action eccentric, and she just walked over and stuck a pole in the ground
and made it more exciting. Still
made it so intense.
Coolest walk ever. Yeah. You know?
And I, like I said, and I like that dynamic back and forth between, you know, like, hey, call me, you know. And then, like I said, man, we'll talk more about the post-credit scenes, but I love both post-credit scenes. Loved a lot of the action. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to love here. I think it's mainly the heart, the soul, and the humor that really helps kind of separate this from most other comic book films. So those are kind of the standouts for me. Friggin's kind of like, what were the big standouts for you from what you loved?
Well, as I said a little bit earlier, I agree with what you just said. With the heart is what makes the film. The humor is what kept me like excited, kept me going through this film. Whereas, you know, we've talked a lot about like comedy is not my favorite genre, and that's what ended up being my favorite part of this film. So that was really cool. Black heart. I mean, it's just not my favorite. Is all I'm saying. But the other thing that totally caught me off guard was like, okay, because we've talked before, like we know me and Peeps over here, we're really into the D&D, and I felt like I was not expecting to get kind of this like D&D callback with a lot of the characters. You know, they're tying into the Greek mythological characters, which is also kind of incorporated to the D&D world. So seeing that Cyclops, the Minotaur, the Harpies. Stuff, yeah. And even the design of the dragon. Like, I remember the first time I saw that in the trailer, I was like, man, that looks super cool. And all I thought we were going to get was Shazam fighting the dragon at the end of the movie. And now we got all this other cool things that I wasn't expecting. And to throw in, like, you know, the most badass unicorn you've ever seen, like, okay, I'm here for this. Like, so, you know, that final battle, while it still does fall into the CGI fest, and I agree with what you said earlier, Peeps, about, you know, they could have done some practical effects with some of those certain characters, I still found that was really enjoyable. And it was a little refreshing to have not been disappointed at the end. I think a lot of that disappointment was in the beginning, but then it picks up and then you're walking out on the high note, right?
Right.
So that was it's really
very
cool.
Very interesting contrast from Ant-Man to where, like, though it wasn't horrible, but like we were like, man, if only it ended like this.
Yes. No,
very, very different than that, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely agree. And then the other, you know, kind of tidbit detail that I really enjoyed was that, you know, one of the brothers, or he was like going through the doors and like logging which doors that was. That was a really cool detail that, again, something I never would have really thought of on my own. And you know, he was just like sticking like sticky notes on them. So it's something I think a kid would do. I mean, maybe not even a kid. I probably wouldn't even like get a stapler or something. So that was really cool that, you know, they were giving some minor details to characters, even though Peeps wanted more on the one kid. But I think those were really cool, like little itty bitty details that like overall kind of painted that picture to see who these characters are and kind of what they do on their spare time. So I did enjoy that aspect. I feel like there was like one other little tiny detail that I was going to mention, but I'm drawing a blank right now. So I'm going to wait until Peeps is right about to say something important. And then I'm going to jump in and be like, oh yeah, I remember. This is the one dumb little thing.
That's fair. yeah, man, you guys, we've pretty much been talking about it. Like, this whole movie, I think, is just filled with like funny, silly scenes. And I like that they added the element of, you know, them losing their power so we can get a combination of kids with the superheroes. That was, you know, kind of cool. And it's weird, right? Because in the first movie, I loved the kids so much and I couldn't wait to get more of them. And then this one, I feel like it's a pretty good balance between, you know, kids and superheroes. Though I think Freddy's superhero version, it's like, what do you call himself? Like Captain Everything?
Every Power
Captain
Man.
Captain Every Power.
Yeah.
Captain Every Power.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it was fine. Like, nothing great about him. He kind of encompassed that like cocky, like, oh, look at me, like kind of character that he was making. So I really liked, you know, like we said, the kids and the dynamic, and you know, Billy's trying to get keep everyone together, and it's not like they're not interested or want to do the right thing. You know, they even have a code word when there's trouble. I can't remember what he said, but I hope it's not raining outside or that's something right. like that.
And everyone's like, "It's." Oh, I thought it's a beautiful day to go play outside.
Oh, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then even in the beginning, like, I don't know what happens. Lightning keeps striking the house. Like, just all these like little neat, cute things. And what they did to the the Wizard's Hall, it just turned it into like you know, like the Runaway Ninja Turtle hideout or whatever.
It's like a rock climb wall in the background. The demons are all decorated.
TV, little tiki hut. Yeah,
everyone's
that violin on fire. What the hell?
And I love that it kind of pays off, but then it doesn't. They like leaving that we don't know what it does either, but it was a good distraction. I don't know, man. It was so good, and then the little maze that they were in, and so many funny little moments, and I love all of them. I like that they were considered the horrible heroes. I think Friggins, you said you didn't like that. I can't remember what they're the Disastrous Seven or whatever they're.
John said that.
The Philadelphia fiascos.
Right, like it. I would have liked a little bit more of that. I would have liked to see them like helping with the bridge, but also like, I appreciate you like saving me, but like you couldn't have done anything for my car. And like, he saves the guy and throws the car over the bridge or something like that, just because they're stupid kids and they're making dumb decisions as they're doing it. And I would have liked to see a little bit more of them, you know, helping, but like not like kind of messing things up at the same time.
That reminds me, I love that when he caught the car, he was like, "Are you really listening to this song right now?
It's so cool.
I need a hero. I got such a kick out of that. Like, are you serious? The song is really played right now? That's so
really
cool.
Good. Yeah. Those unicorns, I've never actually like unicorns or whatever, but I actually freaking like some unicorns, like those unicorns with the sharp teeth, and they're like, they're so freaking huge, and they're black with the shape of their horn. Oh my, they were really dope. I really like those freaking unicorns. Cool. Yeah, I cannot wait for my daughter to see that scene. Like, I'm gonna watch that, take her to that movie. I'm just gonna be waiting for that scene the whole time. Even like the silly jokes, like the porta potty, like porta potty, like he's pointing at the door. Like, so stupid. It was so dumb, but it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this movie so much that I want to see a Shazam verse. I know it's not going to happen, but I would enjoy seeing like a Darla movie, like her doing her own thing. Like maybe, you know, she ends up going to college or something like that, and this is kind of her story. Or even Freddie and the Atlas sister, or just anything else that like comes from this. Like, I want to see more of this like group, and maybe them be able to have their own little like one-offs. I personally would like that. I know it's not going to happen, but I like them all so much, and because they're all just jam-packed into this one movie, it's like, I just want more of you. So,
you know what would be cool would be like an HBO Max like anthology series where like, you know, each week, like you have the one guy and then you have the girl and then you have the other one. Like, you can each week could be a different side story of somebody that they could do for an hour or something, right? Like, that'd be the easier way to kind of go about it.
There you go.
That'd be super cool.
That would
be fun. Boom. Yeah. One season and they all have their own little thing. We talked about the whole thing with the pen. It was so dumb and great at the same time. And I will say too, like, we're keep talking about the dragon popping up. I thought the dragon fight was gonna be quick. It wasn't. That dragon was there for freaking ever. I mentioned how much I love the way that the dragon's eyes glow, and then it causes everyone else's eyes to glow. Because you know that it's doing its fear thing, and the girl drops to her knees and they're fighting it. I love that scene so much. But even to go at the end when he's like, they're in that little dome. And I like the dome idea, because that's a way that they can say that's why no other superheroes were there, because there's this magical dome that literally nobody can get through. Yes. So I thought that was great. I really liked at the end when he's shooting the lightning off and it's causing like a chain reaction. It kind of it goes back to that little, you know, that remember the little electric thing you see get at Spencer's? Orb? You put your hand on it.
Yeah.
It kind of was very reminiscent to that, with all the lightning kind of striking all over the place.
In
the
dome. He had the one in his room, and he looked at it when it blew up, and it was like a little foreshadowing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
message.
And yeah, just, you know, I honestly don't know what was going on. Like, I thought when he was shooting it, that was it. But then it created more, and it kept hitting the stick, and I don't know what was actually happening. I'm sure it's not that complicated, but he's charging it so that he can stab the dragon and blow it up. I don't know why he just doesn't punch the dragon in the eyeball.
He saw that the staff was it was overcharging with all the electricity he was shooting at it. So
yeah,
that was where the idea of the bomb came from. You know,
making it stronger.
Get too much electricity, I'll get a bomb out of it, and that's how I'm going to take it out.
So. Right. Yeah, and that whole thing too. Like when they're looking for him and. The parents, and then Freddy finds them, and then just like the, you know, like the Iron Man kind of like, no, I'm like, wow, they're really going here. And but then even at the end, like when he pops up again and he goes, is that a spider in my teeth?
Yeah.
that whole
thing, like, he's like, I've been dead for like 2 minutes, you guys already buried me. Like, I'm already in the dirt,
right? Yeah, that whole bit, man, was really good. And yeah, I'm probably sure I could like nitpick on other little things, but we keep saying it, like the wholesome family moments, the father and the mother, and how much they love these kids, and you know how they are all connected as a family, and even at the end, no Shazamming in the house or something like that.
Yeah, no Shazamming indoors. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. So yeah, no, really dope.
I remembered. When the guy, because they weren't ever calling them by the name, right? They didn't, that joke of like not knowing what names to go by.
Yeah.
And when the guy like yelled Captain Marvel, and I was like, oh, sweet. They actually threw the old comic book reference there.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I will say, I do miss
that that guy was Shazam in the old school TV show. So,
oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
That's why he was wearing the red and yellow shirt. Okay. Yeah. He was Billy Batson in the old TV show they had way back in the day.
80s, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a little throwback there.
Nice. I do miss the old, his cape from the first movie. Like, short didn't cape. Have, like, a bit of a collar, and it was shorter. Mm-hmm. You know, I miss that.
Yeah, the hood.
Yeah, that was
it was very. It's a very unique to his character. Now he just kind of looks like other Superman with a longer cape like that. So I miss that little hood.
I miss the hood, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool to even have him like put it up and when his eyes are glowing and all that. I don't know.
Definitely.
It would have been tight. All right. Well, then that moves us on to our mid and post credit scenes. We've been hinting along it this whole time. Two really solid ones here. The one right in the middle, linking it up kind of with the Peacemaker team. Little leftover from what I see, a connection with Black Adam, as well too. So, you know, bringing up the Justice Society, right, which we just saw, and Harcourt, you know, she was in Black Adam. Obviously, they're still working for Lawler. We have the Lawler TV show coming up. Yeah, Dyebeard. So we see them coming through, and they catch up with Shazam, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to be a part of the Justice?" Yes. You know. That's right, you know, and it's like, okay, cool, like, you know, and then it's like, that's the one with Wonder Woman, right? No, that's Justice League. Well, that's different. Yeah, that's different. It's just society. Why are there two with Justice, right?
Avengers Society.
Avengers Society. I really like that one, right? Yeah. Yeah, and I love that Dyebeard is like, what is your obsession with Wonder Woman, man?
He's literally so going back to that thing. Yeah, literally has an obsession with Wonder Woman. So, yeah.
He's like, dude, come on, man. Right? Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I just love that. Even it doesn't call confusion that there's two teams called Justice, right?
Don't you think
just awesome, that... man.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say.
I was just saying it was super cool.
Don't you think that I feel like had this movie come out before Black Adam, then that would have been a better like little tease to Black Adam, right? Because then we find, because like if you don't know what the Justice Society is, you're gonna be like, what the heck's the Justice Society? And then boom, here's Black Adam, and it's like, here's the Justice Society. You know, I feel like that would have been a little bit of a better transition to.
Well, no, because then we would have expected to see him in Black Adam.
Yeah,
Like, why isn't he there? Yeah. They just recruited him before that.
I think it made the payoff more if you've seen Black Adam, that they're like, oh, Justice Society.
Now
like,
you know what a Justice Society is.
Because Waller was working with the Justice Society in Black Adam, so it'd make more sense why they're recruiting for that group than anything else, right?
Yeah, and we don't know what's
really
going to be.
It just sucks that we won't see it go anywhere.
Well, right. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's going down in the Waller TV show, right?
Yeah.
True. That's a good point.
Yeah, true.
And that is a thing, so.
It is a thing. You can see they mentioned Waller by name in that scene. So really fun scene, man. And long, too, man. A lot longer than a typical post-credit scene. It went on for a couple minutes, and it had a lot of laughs. And I love that Harcourt was just like, whatever, I'm leaving. And can you bring the van around? Like, yeah. I don't want to do that walking again, you know. So just really, really fun, awesome scene. I had a big smile on my face with this one.
Yeah.
Friggins, what was your thoughts?
I mean, same thing. You know, I think the number one thing I noticed was how long it was. I was like, this thing's still going. And at the end of the day, I was just really happy to have a mid-credit scene that felt like, you know, it was impactful in some way. And again, I know it's not going anywhere now, but like, you know, that story in my mind still exists. And even if we get that reboot of the DC, you know, franchise, it's kind of open up to our imaginations to see what we think would have happened in the future, right? So, like, I like that connective thread. I like to kind of ponder, like, oh, what would that have been like to see him being part of the Justice Society? Who would be along with him on the Justice Society? You know, would they be going after Black Adam, right? And would Black Adam, in my mind, be that next Thanos where, like, you know, maybe they go after and they get totally destroyed again and then, you know, the Justice League has to come in. Stuff like that. Like, it makes it fun. And that mid-credit scene was nice to see them pull in some of the characters from the Peacemaker show. So then also tying in, you know, more, because obviously Peacemaker was from the Suicide Squad, but tying in more of that TV show into the film world was a really cool, nice little touch. So just happy to have a mid-credit scene that actually seemed like it mattered.
That was fun. Yep. Peeps.
Yeah, like it, very disappointing, you know, that it won't go anywhere. I love the little dialogue with them walking and talking and kind of talking shit back and forth like they did in the Peacemaker TV show. So, I just kind of like Peacemaker and Vigilante was doing that.
Right,
I don't know why. I don't know. And I could even see, you know, again, we're talking this not going to happen stuff, right? But like, what if they did like reach another, hey, there's this big bad that we need to stop and we need the Justice Society. And they actually do have Shazam and Black Adam as a part of it. And then that's where you can kind of see them like butting heads a little bit. I don't know. I think that would be fun. Not going to happen.
It'd be fun.
But in my brain space.
But be a lot of fun. I think what could happen is we could maybe see Shazam pop up in the Waller show, you know, if there is like the finale episode or whatever. I mean, I know he'd love to do the character again. So if they wanted, they needed some big guns to help out, you know, he could always fly in.
Hey, let's get some tweets trendy, dudes. Hashtag keep Shazam alive.
Yeah, keep saying the name.
I think this box office killed him, but
sucks, man. It just like with the Suicide Squad, it just sucks seeing something I enjoy so much not getting the like credit or I don't know, representation. I feel like it should. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
No, totally. And then we got another one. So we get to the very end, the post credits, and we get kind of a callback to the post credit scene from the first movie, which is Dr. Savelga or whatever, just in the prison still, chilling there. It's been a couple years, and Mr. Mind is back, right? The talking caterpillar. Mr. Mind's such a crazy character in the comics. Like, I especially love when he pops up in Teen Titans Go. It's hilarious every time. But, you know, he pops up and he's like, course. Talking caterpillar, And he's just like, you know, I love that he pops up and he's like, you know, I love, where the hell have you been? I slither everywhere. it takes me a while to get there.
2 years.
It's just so stupid. 2 years, man. It takes me some time. I don't have legs. You know, but the plan is coming together, and unfortunately we won't really see it unravel. But I was reading an interview with the writer of the film, and he was saying obviously that was their original intention for the movie, mm-hmm. was to continue that story and use mm-hmm. Mr. Mind and all that stuff, but then it shifted to the Daughters of Atlas, and they were like, oh, we got Lucy Liu and all this stuff, so we kind of put it to the back burner, but we said this would be a great thing to revisit for the post-credit scene. And it was a fun little added one, kind of calling back to the first movie. It is unfortunate again that we don't think it's going to go anywhere. I would have been curious to see what the hell Mr. Mind can really do, you know, in a live action feature film, but we'll have to use our imaginations again. But another really fun scene just to kind of wrap up the movie. So Peeps, I'll go to you first on this one here. Like, what'd you think of this one?
This scene, I loved it so much. Like, when we're talking about the last scene, I just started cracking up thinking about the next scene. It's so dumb that they bring in like that same actor, which is like, you know, he's pretty sure he's not a cheap actor for them to bring in. And, you know, you see how long it's been. He's got a beard and how long he's been waiting and how excited he was at the end of the first Shazam movie. And just for it to be like, where it's almost complete. Where are you going? I'll be right back. I need to take care of something.
No!
Just to say it's going to be even longer before anything like that happens again. I don't know. They didn't have to do that. But the fact that they set up that little cookie crumbs for something in the future, and then it doesn't pay off, but you still see it's still like still working on it. I don't know, man. I loved it. It was so funny, so great. You know, for a throwaway post-credit scene, I liked something like that so much better than, you know, Bruce Campbell not punching himself anymore. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely agree. You know, again, it is that throwaway joke for the after-credit scene that I had to sit through all of the credits for. But in this instance, it actually works. It was really funny. It ties into, you know, I love the callback to that original joke. And I may not have liked it as much if I didn't have Peep sitting right next to me on my left, because he was friggin' dying. Oh, my God. I was like, okay, it wasn't that funny, but now it's really funny.
I liked it a lot. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. Did either, so just speaking of post credit scenes, I got to bring up, did either of you guys see Scream 6 yet?
Not yet.
No,
don't ruin it for me. I was trying to go tomorrow.
Okay. Well, it's not going to really ruin anything. There is a post credit scene, which they've never done before in a Scream movie, right? Cool. And just to save you 10 minutes of waiting through the credits, it literally is one of the characters being like, not every movie needs a post credit scene. And that was it.
Oh, like, thank you for saving me. I don't want to. Thank you.
Because it's one of the characters that talks about. Yeah, it was one of the characters that talks about, you know, the cliches in movies and stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So then it goes back to her at the end, and she's like, "Not every movie needs a post credit scene," and it just goes to black, and you're like, "What the fuck?"
Scream has like, it's always funny, been...
but I also just wasted all this goddamn time
for that. It, Scream has always been like super meta. Like, what was it, Scream?
Yeah.
Three, where it starts with a killing, but that was just a movie. Them watching one of the movies, and then somebody dies, but then that was also just in a movie of them watching that movie, of us watching this movie. Like, that's funny that they did that. And did they say like Ghostface will return in the Avengers or something like that?
No, no, that was just a joke.
Okay.
So like I said, we always talk box office at the end. Typically, we do the show usually on a Sunday night or a Monday, so the box office is out. We just have early estimates here, but like we said earlier in the show, the early estimates are not very good. As early box office predictions started to come in, the original amount was $53 million, right? So the original movie made about 55 or so when it opened several years ago. So it was like, okay, should probably do about the same, right? 53. And then a couple weeks ago, they were like, it's probably going to be like 40 to 45. And it was like, damn, really? It's not even going to hit 50? That's kind of crazy. And then the weekend started to come, and they were like, yo, we're looking at 35. And I was like, 35? Like, this thing keeps going down. There's no way. Like, I was calling bullshit. I was like, dude, people just aren't buying pre-sale tickets, right? Like, everybody will still go this weekend and be like, whatever. It'll still hit 50, right? And then we started talking about how all the theaters were empty. And I was like, oh, shit, like this might actually be that 35. Well, it's even worse. It'll probably barely crack 30. That's rough, man. This thing has a $125 million budget. To break even, you have to basically do two times that at least, plus marketing. This is going to be a rough one, man. They're probably going to lose money on this one here. And that's really, really unfortunate. $30 million for a sequel. You know, like we said, the first movie making about 55 out the door, cracking over 400 million by the end of its run. And then here we are several years later where sequels do better and we're getting half of what we did the first time. You know, where's this thing going to top out at? It's not going to be much. And that's rough, man. $30 million based on the tracking so far.
I think this means that they might want to start thinking about releasing Aquaman 2 straight to HBO Max.
That's a $200 million movie. I don't see that happening. Yeah,
they're just going to cancel it again.
Like, yeah.
Going to go the way back, girl.
I think they're hoping they're going to get that money off Flash there.
You know?
Yeah, they'll make Flash.
Tom Cruise loved it. Everybody is going to get ready for an amazing film over here. Now that the Flash is coming, which I finally did get to see that trailer on the big screen before this movie here, which was awesome. Yeah. I hadn't seen it in the theater yet. So,
oh, really?
Such a great trailer. I love that Flash trailer.
It's great.
So good. It's great. So, yeah, what you guys' thoughts on this box office here? 30 mil, guys.
I mean,
Scream just made 44 million in its opening last weekend.
Scream. When we talk box office about comic book films, I almost cringe a little bit because it makes me angry that the creators of these things, the artists that work on these things, aren't getting more of a percentage or maybe not even any. And you really have to understand, like, the studio has ownership over a lot of the stuff. And it wasn't until like more recent years that the artists and writers were starting to maintain ownership in their own products. So when we talk box office, normally I kind of like, oh, that sucks. They still need to take some of this like amazing bank that they just made and give it to the creators. And this is even worse because not only are they not giving to the creators, but like this could jeopardize us seeing more comic related things in the future, right? We're probably never going to see Levi as Shazam again with something like that. So that's kind of like where my thoughts are with the really low budget. And you know, 30 million sounds like a lot, but like you said, for a blockbuster film that's over 100 million to make, like this is a bomb. It's rough.
way to cut it.
Like I said, it hurts. It sucks because things whenever there's something that comes out like a potential franchise that I want to be successful, and it doesn't, it just hurts. This is Warcraft all over again. It hurts.
Yeah, it's really rough, especially since the future is so open for the DCU, right? And then the director came out a couple weeks ago and said, like, we do have the opportunity to come back, but it's really going to be dependent on this box office. If you guys want to see us back, you want to see this crew back, you want to see these actors back, you got to go watch the movie. And here we are. So I think that pretty much puts the nail in the coffin for this era of Shazam, probably not being a part of the Gunverse, unfortunately, as it stands. So we'll have to wait and see, but you never know. I mean, James Gunn did direct the Suicide Squad, which also bombed, and you know, that also had different circumstances with the pandemic, and it was on HBO Max at the same time and had a lot of things going against it, but it still was a big financial bomb, and the guy's running DC now. So, I mean, I guess it doesn't mean you're always out of luck, right? Peacemaker got a show, and there's things that are continuing out of that, so doesn't always mean you're dead. This is another movie, though, I wanted to bring up that from a critic standpoint, you know, we have the big fluctuating difference again, just like we did with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Critics, it's rotten, 53%, right? Mm-hmm. So, which is shocking because it was pretty much holding about a 65 since it came out. And then this weekend, it took a dive to 53. Audience rating, 87. So, again, very high. People are loving it. This is over 500 plus verified fans. With an 87% and 169 critics at 53%. So crazy again that we have such a different, you know, era when it comes to these reviews, but you know, we once again we fall more on the fan side of things. So yeah. So here we go. Final thoughts and scores as we go around. What are we wrapping up on this baby? What do we think now that we've marinated on it for a couple days? So Peeps, I'll start with you.
I'm with Friggins in terms of the complexity for me to rate this. As I said, I know it's not a great, perfect movie, but this is a movie that I want to take my kids to, and I feel like we might be quoting and making silly jokes of this movie for a while. So that's where my rating kind of becomes a little bit biased when it comes to like family movies. Is this like a family movie? And I will definitely say it's a family movie. Again, not perfect, but family movie. So I'm going to go ahead and go, I'm going to follow my heart with this one. And I'm going to give it a 4.5. Honestly.
Wow.
It is a good family movie. I had a blast. I know my family will have a blast. And it serves its purpose of being a good blockbuster, film. Compared to other movies that I give a 4.5, like I will probably say I love those movies like so much more than this in terms of contrast, but this movie does it fulfills its job wholeheartedly. It straight up fulfills its job, and it warms my heart to see things like DX's daughter saying like this is her favorite movie ever. That's amazing. I love that. Like this movie to her like set the bar for like all the other movies she's going to be watching here on out. And that's huge. So yeah, like for that reason, I am going to give this movie like a 4.5.
Okay, nice.
Respect.
Briggins.
All right. Briggins. Well, for me, I mentioned I was like teetering, and I'm like, is it 3.5? Is it 4? I couldn't quite figure out exactly where I wanted to go. I really had a marinade on this one. I ended up pulling up my Letterboxd and going through my diary. And I was just going through the list of all the movies I've... Well, Letterboxd has a diary where you keep track.
Sure, yeah, sure, yeah. Friggin'.
And we I'm know like, about your diary.
Make sure and you lock it and put it under your pillow.
It's on, with the unicorns
all today over today I saw Shazam.
And it's like, I got that movie's at a 4, but I like that movie more than this movie. That movie's at 3, but I like this movie more than that movie. And so I really had to
way too much thought
on this one. Probably way too much thought. But at the end of the day... You know, I had a blast at the theater. I really enjoyed myself, but I can't see myself probably watching this again. I can't imagine a scenario where I'm going to be like, I feel like watching Shazam 2. So for that reason, I couldn't quite give it that 4 mark, but I thought it was better than just a standard good rating of a 3. So I went in the middle, and Don, you're getting a 3.5 star for me on this one. So again, like everyone's been saying, not the greatest movie ever, but still a good time in the theater.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So rounding it out here, like I said, my daughter gave it 5 stars. So giving her score out.
Nice. 5.
And I agree. Like there are things I would have changed. That, you know, I would have liked the beginning a little bit more. I would have liked some more of this and that. Mm-hmm. Took a little bit to get going, so not a 5 star. But at the end of the day, it is. It's how you walk out. It's the feelings you get, kind of watching it, the emotions you get. Did you have fun? Did you laugh? Did it have the action I wanted? And it did give me a lot of the boxes checked that I looked for going into this movie. So I would end at a 4. So give it a good solid 4 there. So 3 different scores. We all loved it, but we got a 3.5, a 4, and a 4.5. So we stack up pretty nicely there when it comes to Shazam, Fury of the Gods. So this will be interesting because, of course, we're going to run right into, like we do with the Marvel movies, our updated DCEU countdown. So we are counting down the films of the DC Extended Universe, which has 13 films, if you're keeping track. And this is basically everything from Man of Steel up to Shazam, Fury of the Gods. So we'll see where this one falls in the grand scheme of things. So Peeps, I'll start with you, man. Count it down. What we got?
All right. So we have 13, right? Is that where we landed at?
13, yes.
Okay, good. All right. So starting at 13, unfortunately, I think we'll always be, I don't know, it depends on how Swamp Thing will be because I'm not really looking forward to that. But Wonder Woman 84, Number 12, Batman v Superman. Number 11, the original Suicide Squad. Number 10, the original Justice League non-remake. Number 9, Birds of Prey. Number 8 is the first Shazam. Number 7 is Aquaman. Number 6 is Wonder Woman. Number 5 is Black Adam. And number 4 is Fury of the Gods, Shazam. Mm. Right. And then we go to top three would be Man of Steel for number 3, the new Zack Snyder director's cut Justice League, and then number 1 movie is The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Interesting. Yeah. Although I think you need to watch BVS again because I don't appreciate that one landed on me. That hurts my heart. Just a little. All right, Friggins, what we got?
Well, actually, I've been trying to do some rewatches of some films, you know, a lot of Marvel films, but some DC in there. I will say that I'm finding that I'm having a better appreciation for some of the DCEU stuff now after some time has passed. And so one I do need to rewatch is Man of Steel, which might bump us up if I watch that before Flash. So we'll see. But for right now, I have Wonder Woman 84 at the bottom, number 13. I have Justice League, the original version at number 12, and I have Man of Steel down at number 11. And again, I'm finding a different appreciation for this stuff, so I think if I rewatch it, we might see a change there, but we'll go for that.
Yes. Yes.
Number 10, I have Aquaman.
God.
Number 9, I have Suicide Squad. Number 8, I have Black Adam. Number 7 is where Shazam Fury of the Gods lands for me. At number 6, I have Birds of Prey. Number 5, I have Batman v Superman. Number 4,
you like Birds of Prey that much.
I do. I really like it. I don't know.
It's so much higher than so many good movies.
I enjoy the crap out of it. I love me some Black Canary. Love me some Huntress. Ah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. You need to rewatch that one.
Number 4, I have the first Shazam. Number 3, I have Justice League, the Snyder Cut. Number 2, I have The Suicide Squad. And my favorite is Wonder Woman, the first one.
And we are all over the damn place.
We are.
You see, that's for damn sure.
Yep.
Like, we have some similarities in Marvel, even with 30 plus films. But here with 13, we are just all over the fucking
place.
Except for. Except for number 13, Wonder Woman 84. So we are in agreement there.
Yeah.
Number 12 is Birds of Prey, where it should be right at the bottom, along with Wonder Woman.
Sure.
This will surprise you. Number 11 is where I slated Fury of the Gods.
Okay.
I put it in there at number 11. Surprising. Number 10, I have the original Suicide Squad. This is one I could flip-flop probably with Shazam.
Yeah,
and kind of flip it, put Shazam too. At 10. I was trying to think overall. I feel like I had a lot more fun with Suicide Squad just because there was so much going on and so many different characters that that's why I kind of leaned it higher. But I could flip-flop that one. Number 9, I have the original Wonder Woman. Number 8 is the original Shazam. Number 7, Aquaman. Number 6, Black Adam. Number 5, The Suicide Squad. Number 4, again, I've explained this, the Joss Whedon version of Justice League, just because of growing up being such a fan of the Justice League, and I still give it credit for bringing these characters together and letting me see it on the big screen for the first time. So I love my team up movies, so they're right at the top. Number 3 is Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Number 2, Man of Steel, because it is incredible, Fred. And you need to rewatch it ASAP.
I do need to rewatch
and it. Really good. Number 1, no doubt, is the Zack Snyder Justice League. Amazing, so amazing so epicness that puts it right at the top there. I'm hearing a rumor that Zack Snyder may be getting the very special showing, Triple Threat, here at the end of April. That supposedly one night will be Man of Steel back in the theater. And then the next night, BVS, and then the third night, the Justice League, his version, in theaters for the first time ever.
Wow.
So if that ends up happening, we got some DC stuff to go watch.
Wait, you said that's all going to be in one showing?
one after the other.
No, they're going to be different nights. So I think he has it like the 28th is Man of Steel, 29th is BVS, and the 30th is, it'd be a long time with that Zack Snyder Justice League, right?
Hey, they used to do that with the Avengers movie.
Back. That's true. I did the phase one marathon, and it was, it still haunts me to this day.
That seems like
hell of that theater.
I was there at 10:30 in the morning and left it. 2 something in the morning, I think.
Ooh, no way.
When it was all said and done. So it was it was a lot. And then they did it again for phase two, and it was the two phases. I was like, there's no fucking way in hell. Like, I barely survived the first phase, let alone double phases.
Right.
That's just crazy.
Oh man.
But there you go, guys. That is our updated DCEU countdown. You know, some stronger than others, and you know, special enjoyment there for some compared to others as well too. So, you know, lots of all over,
especially Wonder Woman. Man, mine's in the middle. Don's kind of at the bottom. Different, it's like top movie. Yeah. So,
well, it mixes like awesome Wonder Woman, but also the war movies, and I'm into those. So, like, it has the best of both worlds for me.
I can't wait till there's like a war comedy movie to see like how you struggle with that.
Jojo Rabbit. It was great.
I really love the war. I just didn't care for the comedy very much.
A little bit of horror element in there.
Yeah.
It was black and white, so I love that. Yeah.
Sweet. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to our Am I Still on the Air? Shazam Fury of the Gods spoiler review. We hope you have liked the show and appreciated it. So make sure you follow all the little socials there at the bottom in the ticker. Make sure you follow along with everything going on here on the channel and everything we got on the podcast. So as we go around here, let's introduce the peeps. And so Friggins, tell them where they could find you and what's going on and all that good stuff.
Well, you can find me mostly on Twitter and Instagram at Friggins. That's F-R-I-G-G-I-N-Z, Friggins with a Z, and that's on both of them. Be sure to follow me on Instagram if you want to see some real short, non-spoiler reviews of the movies I'm seeing. This year, I started this new project where I'm trying to do little mini reviews to kind of give some initial thoughts of films as I see them. Not every single film, but definitely the bigger ones. So check me out there if you want to see non-spoiler and rating. Other than that, I don't have too much else going on other than, you know, when these lovely fellows invite me here on reddragonsradio.com to be doing the Am I Still on the Airs or a guest on the People's Forum as well. So thank you both for continuing to allow me to join you.
Of course.
All right. Peeps, give it to
them. Shout out to Amanda, who gave this movie a 4. Always in our little chat in the live, so appreciate you for always hanging out with us and anybody else who's still out there.
And all my homies that stopped in today too.
Yeah, for sure, sure. The People's Forum. You can check out my podcast. It's out there on the Am I Still on the Airs? If that is a place that you frequent. But the People's Forum is also on Spotify. I throw it up on Facebook as well. I talk about this nerdy stuff. I'm really trying to get into more things and stuff, but life, kids, but you know, I do what I can. Every Monday I always have a new episode of something that I'm talking about or ranting about. So yes, if you like this kind of stuff, yeah, definitely come hang out with me. Appreciate it.
Life finds a way.
All the time. It definitely does.
And of course, here, make sure you follow the show at Am I on the Air. New episodes every single week, bringing you all the latest and greatest when it comes to entertainment news and television, movies, and reviews. So make sure you check that out and follow along on all the socials simply at Am I on the Air, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all there for you. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, give a thumbs up, click that bell button. You know, all the good stuff that they talk about. And of course, you can follow me directly at DX Don Mega. And make sure you follow along everywhere you can. And everything else is right there at the bottom. You can subscribe on all your favorite podcast feeds. We are everywhere that you would like to listen to. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. Thank you to everybody in the chat, everybody listening to the audio podcast, watching on the video. We appreciate you. Have an amazing week. Take care of yourselves and each other. And until next time, peace. Red Dragons!